Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Last week, Amazon surprised many people by ordering all its white-collar staff back into the office from January next year. And only yesterday, a survey found that many Irish employers would give better pay, or at least consider giving better pay and benefits to those workers who regularly show up in the workplace. It's a massive U-turn for some employers to pivot away from working from home following lockdowns. But is it good or bad for the economy to clamp down on hybrid working? Donal O'Donoghue is the Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Donal.
Good morning, Joe.
Are you surprised with the move from Amazon, the fifth largest employer in the world?
I am surprised. I think the reason we're talking about it is the exception rather than the rule. And the first thought that came to mind when I thought about it, and maybe it's the cynic in me that thinks about every year when we get to earnings season and we see companies announcing restructures and reorgs, mandating a 5-day return to the office is a very cost-effective way to cull some of your staff. So that was the first thing that came to mind.
If they say they won't come back to the office, say, well, auf Wiedersehen.
Well, it's a very cost-effective way of doing that, because if you're in a restructure situation, that's going to cost you. But if you allow staff to wither on the vine, there's no cost with that if they leave of their own volition. So that's one of the things that came to mind. But certainly it is very different to the norm. So if you look at the 2023 remote working survey in Ireland, 3% of people who have the option to either work in the office 5 days a week or hybrid, only 3% of people choose to do that. 59% of people work hybrid and 38% of people who can work remotely work fully remotely. Mm. So it's a very, very, single digit percentage of people that want to be in the office 5 days a week. So there's a real fracture point between what an employer wants, what an employee wants.
Yes, and I was talking to the boss of LinkedIn on the show last week, and she said that there's a lot of jobs posted on LinkedIn, as you know. She said jobs that offer hybrid or remote working get twice as many clicks as those that say in office only.
It's the number two thing that we're asked as recruiters. Number one still remains compensation and benefits, because we're in a cost of living crisis.
We
live in the real world. But the next question we're asked is about the, the hybrid working pattern, because people have taken personal agency over their careers since the pandemic. And if you think about working couples that maybe have primary school going children, the cost of childcare is like an additional mortgage. So what we're seeing with our clients is that the hybrid pattern that has settled in is about 50% in office. So if you have two people who are 50% in the office, they can manage childcare between them, as opposed to having an extra, 1,000 or more per month. So when you look at Ireland has had, of the EU, the biggest uptake in response to hybrid and remote working, and we're not giving it back.
And that's really interesting. Is that because most of our economy depends on digital employment, i.e. companies in the digital space, or is that because house prices in the capital, for example, and in Cork City and Limerick City are crazy?
I think all those factors are at play. And I saw there was a piece of research that was out yesterday that said you can get a 3-bed semi in Donegal for €170,000.
Luck with that.
And I think at those prices, people are happy to commute into the city 1 or 2 days per month and build their life around their work. So my view on it is that Ireland isn't in a position to change. We're not giving it back.
And there's new legislation in place as well.
Yeah, there's the EU Pay Transparency Directive, which came in on the 6th of June last year, and we have 3 years to transpose it into law, which means that it means three things, really. The first thing is that as recruiters or employers, we'll have to advertise salary bands on each position. So there's good clarity in terms of what roles actually pay.
So you can't just put competitive.
Exactly. And the next thing that's really important is that employers or recruiters will no longer be able to ask somebody what their current or previous salary was.
That's a big one.
It's a huge one. So if, for example, an organisation values a role at €60,000, if you previously earned €40,000, you shouldn't be penalised for being underpaid in your past role. If you have the skills and experience and you can do the job, well, you should be paid what the organisation values it at. And the final part of that legislation will be that you'll have the right to know what your peers are earning. So if you're in a team of people, you'll have visibility about what the pay grade is.
Within a band, obviously.
Within a band or within a department. So this is what needs to be transposed into law locally. But where that is going to come into effect is where, for example, you've got long tenured employees in a company and the, you know, their skill shortages and salaries are on the increase. And suddenly the organization has to pay, for example, 10K more or 15K more to hire the newest person into the team. You will have visibility of that.
And you won't be too pleased.
Not necessarily. But what it may do is it may create a more level playing field. So when you go back to the piece of research that came out yesterday, where some CEOs said they would strongly consider paying more or giving more favourable compensation and benefits to employees that come into the office, to me, that goes against the spirit of this EU Pay Transparency Directive, which is all about equity and narrowing the gender pay gap. So I think what we need to do is make sure that managers and organisations are managing performance, managing productivity, managing outcome, and not managing presenteeism. And that, when I see organisations that are kind of staunchly saying we want a 5-day return to the office, to me that's an outdated way of working. If you can't manage your people's productivity, that's a very different thing to needing to see them at the desk.
Now, you're the boss. How many days a week do you work from home?
I work from home 1 to 2 days per week. So I, for me, it's about 3.5 days in office. Our global policy, which we came out with, I suppose, 2 years ago now, was a minimum of 3 days in office. So like many employers, we tend to see our people Tuesday to Thursday. But having said that, what I notice is when you kind of devolve responsibility down the organization a little bit, people do the right thing. People want to do their job well. So yesterday, for example, there were three people in the team in the office. Another day you might have a full team. Another day the office could be empty. I suppose the other thing that we've got to look at here is the economic boost that a return to the office gives to the local coffee shops and restaurants and bars. But when you look at Dublin and you look at the traffic and you look at the cities around the world, you definitely see the Tuesday to Thursday is the busy part of the week.
So rumours of the death of working from home are greatly exaggerated?
Well, that's why it's in the news.
Donal, thank you very much for joining us. That's Donal O'Donoghue, the Managing Director of Sandus and Recruitment here in Ireland. Back in a moment.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.